Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Let's Talk 20s podcast. I'm your host, Tanner. It has been a minute. And by a minute, I mean about 4 months. And then before that, it was 9 months. So I'm on a very good streak. It's been tough, once again, being one of the most popular podcasts in the world, doing a bunch of PR stuff, international tours and everything like that. You guys kind of know the deal as usual. But today I'm with one of my buddies, Mike. Him and I go to grad school together. And I couldn't get anyone else on, so I decided to text Mike. He was probably like my 11th, 12th option. And so I'm just grateful that he was able to accept that.
Yeah, well, that was very nice of you, Tanner. Thank you for having me on here. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. No, Mike is a great guy. We've been in PT school together for, 2 years now almost, or right around there. And we actually didn't really start hanging out or talking until probably, what would you say, 6-7 months ago? Something like that.
A year and a half in, it is kind of crazy. We never really spoke, and honestly, I don't really know when that changed, but it changed and kind of just started hitting it off. And it's been a great past few months getting to know you and becoming buddies with you.
Absolutely. Likewise. Yeah. It's hopefully we can stay in touch. We're about to start clinicals here soon. Mm-hmm. So I know that we won't be in a classroom together and all that stuff, but hopefully we can stay in touch. For the listeners and viewers from the past, GT got married 3 weeks ago. So I was at his wedding. I was one of his groomsmen. I was his best man. Connor was there too. So it's funny the three of us to be together again, since they're both in Georgia and I'm still in the Cincinnati area. It's very few and far between when we actually get to all meet up. So everyone's doing well. Connor and GT are both doing great. And hopefully we can get back together sometime soon. Anyways, into the topic today, Mike. This is something that you told me that you wanted to discuss. And you wanted to talk about what? Go ahead and tell us what you wanted to discuss.
Just growing up and maturing, kind of growing in your adulthood, I think it's a very important topic. And it's not really talked about a lot. There's no set playbook or set rules that kind of tell you how to mark that transition. And truthfully, it's one of probably the hardest, obviously we're young at this point, but it's probably one of the hardest things you're going to do in your life, figuring out how to go from a kid living, depending on your situation, but living under your parents and having all the support to then kind of just be thrown into the real world. And truthfully, there's, like I said, there's no rule book for it. Your parents are going to be there. They're going to support you. You've got friends who you can rely on and reach out to, but ultimately it comes down to you. And if you're not prepared for it, it can be a tough transition.
Yeah. How old are you again? What are you, 25?
I'm 24, about to turn 25 here in a few weeks.
24, 25. So it's been 5-6 years since you moved out of your parents' house. You didn't live at home for your undergrad, did you?
No, I did not. I lived in Cincinnati from undergrad as well. So yeah, probably about 8. Is when I moved out of my parents' house.
What's something that you've learned about yourself or that you've been surprised learning about yourself since you started, quote unquote, living alone?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one thing I've really learned is how much I enjoy solitude and my peace, just being alone. Growing up, I had two older brothers, and then obviously my parents being there. We lived in a neighborhood, so there was other kids our age just constantly being around, always had friends around. So I was pretty busy as a kid growing up, just entertaining other people and always being in the presence of company. So once I was able to live by myself and kind of get out of that habit, I've really realized how much I do like being alone. I think there's a lot of peace and a lot of comfort in it. Obviously, I love my friends. I put a lot of time and effort into my friendships as well, but it is great to just relax and be in your own company and really enjoy it. Just live in that peace.
Why do you feel like you weren't doing that as much when you were in your parents' homes? Is it just because you're constantly around other people, or do you feel like you maybe weren't doing as much self-inspection, or however you want to phrase it, to do where you didn't realize that aspect about yourself? What do you think that factor was?
It's definitely a little bit of both, and it's something I want to talk about later as well, just kind of being true to yourself. I feel like growing up, I wasn't true to myself, and I kind of had a people-pleasing aspect. So on top of just genuinely being around a lot of people all the time, I also felt like I had to hold up to the standard that I guess maybe my parents or I don't know why the reason I thought about it, but kind of the standard that I thought I needed to fulfill for whoever that may have been. So
you have an idea that you had that part of yourself that was like that in your past, but you don't know why. You don't know the root of it.
Mm-hmm, definitely, yeah. Okay. Something I'm still trying to figure out and work around, and it's a process.
It is a process. It absolutely is. I think something that I've come to terms with over the years is that there's definitely habits about myself that I either amplified over the years because I've been alone or that have kind of been suppressed or maybe aren't as big a part of my personality or my persona over the years. So is there anything like that for yourself?
Yeah, I think one thing I really like is how reliable I've come. I think that's part of just growing up and maturing into an adult. I can always rely on myself. If there's something that needs to be done or I want to get done, I put my mind to it and make sure it's getting done to the best ability that I can. Also a very structured person. I have my lists and how I want to do things, and I make sure I kind of stick to that. I lay them out at the beginning of every day or every week, whatever it may be, and I like to stick to those and make sure that's kind of guiding my weeks or my days or my months or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So kind of keeps things on tracks and keeps things flowing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I think a lot of us need that structure. I know for a fact that's something I haven't done until the last year or two, was doing the daily to-do list and everything. Mm-hmm. And not only does it keep you more structured, but also the satisfaction or the feeling of you accomplish something, even if it is just minute things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And if you have a busy mind like myself, and I feel like at times you have the same part of you too, where the mind races and there's not many ways to turn it off, but feeling like, okay, I did enough today, I can actually relax and enjoy myself. I think that's part of the reason why I did a to-do list as well.
When did you say that started for you?
Probably a year or two ago.
Okay. What made that transition for you? Why did you suddenly start to do that? Was it something that just came about? Did you see somebody else do it? What kind of sparked that for you?
Yeah. Funny enough, one of my good buddies, Connor, who is a co-host on this, he told me that he was doing that and how much it helped his mental health. Connor was the guy that was the most open about his struggles with mental health, and he's very open about his anxiety and everything. And actually, within the last few years, I really wasn't an anxious person until, honestly, probably when we started school. And I decided to start doing it, especially with all the tasks that we have to do within school. So I had to make better use of my time. And then I started becoming a little more anxious. I get mad at myself for feeling like it was not a productive enough day. But if there's a caveat to it, you write a long list and you don't get it all done, you feel like you're a failure. So you kind of have to work with yourself on that.
Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds like you have a pretty good balance between it. Like you said, some people can get really caught up in it. It's like, if I don't do all these single things in a day, my day is shot. I need to get them all done before bed. So I think that's really good how you recognize it's not really like a to-do all list. It's like a set of objectives you can get done for the day. And if they don't get done in the order you want, there's still other time to do them. And it's not, you know, it doesn't make you a failure. When did you kind of first start to notice that you were really growing up and maturing into an adult and you weren't that kid that you used to recognize anymore?
It's a tough question. Tough question. I think, well, I had to grow up a little bit faster than other people, as I've discussed numerous times about my dad's car accident when I was 12 or 13 years old. I really had to take on more of a role, not even being just a big brother, but being more of a role model for my younger sister and really for my family overall. I felt like a big part of me growing up was the individual who's not, I would say the glue is probably the best term to describe it. And I had to grow up quick. I learned a lot of life lessons very early on because of that. And realizing that the whole selfishness thing as a kid, you're so used to everything being catered towards you. Mm-hmm. And for a 12-year-old, especially a boy who wants everything to be about himself and who is very self-absorbed, because we all are naturally, that's just part of puberty and everything, for my world to be turned upside down and for everything to not be about me and my sister, but now to be catered towards my dad. I never had any resentment towards him or my family at all. Like, that would be ridiculous. But to say that part of me was kind of craving that attention again for a little while, I'd be lying if I said that didn't exist. So I feel like that is when I had to grow up to switch from the selfishness as a kid to realizing that what actually matters is not only myself, but especially the people around me, because who am I without my friends and family and loved ones and all that? I think when I finally started realizing that I need to make my own goals, aspirations, achievements that I want to do for myself and by myself, I think is when I had to start growing up a little bit more, because you can be in this bubble, especially in a very loving household, where maybe you don't have to do as much for yourself as you should. And then the only way for that switch to be flipped off is for you to actually start thinking about yourself and your future and what are you going to do and how are you going to accomplish that. So when you start actually realizing that you only get this one life, you need to start taking accountability for your own actions. So when 14, 15, you know, when you're in high school and everyone's asking you, what do you want to be when you grow up? You're like, oh shit. Yeah, I do have to grow up.
Yeah, for me, I think it was a little bit different for me. I don't think I really started. I was a little bit later, and I don't really think I started realizing I was growing up and maturing into an adult probably until my undergraduate years. Definitely lived a very sheltered life. My parents were very awesome, took really great care of me as a kid and kind of provided everything that I could possibly want. So once I finally did get to living alone in my undergraduate years, I really had to make some drastic changes. And that's kind of what led me to finally growing up and maturing and realizing, like you just talked about, you only have one life. You can't just sit around and do nothing all day. You have to take responsibility for your own actions and live the life that you want to be, that nobody is going to come and save you. Your parents, your friends, they can all guide you and push you in the right direction, but they're not going to be able to help you live that life that you want. It's really up to you in the end, something that you have to figure out by yourself.
Easier said than done.
Absolutely. It is not an easy thing, and that's not at all.
And it's ever changing too. I mean, right now we feel like we have an idea and then we get married and we start having kids and everything like that. And then our priorities shift again. It's an ever evolving thing. And I think that's something I really like within the last few years too, is just it's about your perspective, what you make of it, but with a lot of change can come great things, a lot of personal growth and all that. And it seems like that drastic change from going from living at your parents' house to going off to college was the kick in the behind you needed to jumpstart that for you.
Yeah, definitely. It's always got to be open to change no matter what situation, what thing you're in. It may be uncomfortable and it's not an easy thing, but being open to change has led you to great places. So got to have that open mindset to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something that I wanted to talk about with you, because we're kind of on the topic of it, is when we move out from our parents' houses, obviously we have to shift our values to kind of ourself and to take care of ourselves and realize that, oh shit, I kind of have to do a lot to function as a 19, 20 year old who's barely getting by in school and has no idea what the hell they're doing. What are some values that became clear to you since you left your parents' house? Or it doesn't even need to be that specific, but just within the last few years since then, what values have become more clear to you, or what do you value more now as you've aged?
That's a really great question. I think there's many levels to that. One of the main ones I would say is just, I think we touched about it briefly, but independence isn't really about freedom. It's kind of about responsibility. Just because you're living by yourself now and you're able to do whatever you want, that doesn't mean you stay up late and watch movies all night or sit around all day and not do anything. You have responsibilities, and it is part of growing into an adult. You need to take your own responsibility and be accountable for those actions. You can't just sit around and wait for things to happen. Another big one for me personally is kind of go hand in hand, is having peace and being true to yourself is so much more important than people pleasing. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. A lot of people are people pleasers, and I used to be the same way, and to an extent I still am, but it's your life. You have to be, you know, the main character in your own life. You can't take the supporting role and like do all these things because maybe your parent wants you to do them, or your partner or friends, whatever it may be, societal expectations. You have to take control of your own life and be true to yourself, because that's really the only way you're going to live the life that you want and be happy inside of your own life.
A lot of great points, a lot of things that I completely agree with, and almost word for word what I've said on this podcast before. I think your peace is the guiding force in your life. I know for a fact if my inner peace is interrupted, not only do I not look at myself in a positive manner, but I notice that the way I treat the people around me changes, and not in a great way. And I notice that my stability and my inner peace, and like you said, making sure that I'm okay with myself before I constantly try to act and do things for others, I think it's a big pivotal shift that you learn. And you have to learn. Sometimes it's a hard way, but it's definitely a necessary shift if you want to continue, like you said, to progress and be the main character in your own life rather than a supporting role. I think that was very well said.
You can't take care of others. You can't help others if you're not taking care of yourself first at all. It all starts with you. Is there any others you would add to that list?
The inner peace one was very good. So I think in addition to the inner peace, which I think, once again, very well said, I think another one for me is how much the relationships around you really mean. I think, especially in high school, even growing up, since I moved around so much, I always felt like quality over quantity of friends, especially because I knew that pretty soon I would probably move, which was, I mean, I guess depending on you like that, a little bit of a sad thought, but I just knew that I probably wouldn't be living here forever. So it's not like I went out of my way to try to make a bunch of friends. But the relationships I did have, even growing up, were very strong. If I only had a few great friends, those relationships would last a very long time. And same thing growing up is you want to make sure that obviously your circle is one that you love, but it's also one that you can always feel like you can go to every person and they can check on you and you can check on them. I feel like until a few years ago, I realized that I was trying to carry on friendships or even relationships in general just for the sake of carrying them on rather than actually caring about the person themselves. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And that is something that is kind of hard to swallow, right? Because you want to be friends with everyone and you don't want to lose touch with people. But realizing the value of quality friendships or relationships and how much that can help you in your life, how much the people around you can encourage you to be the best version of yourself, surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals, I think is very, very important.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think that's a big part of life, and society's kind of got a little bit twisted. A lot of people see how many friends you have, and the more friends you have, the more popular you are, the better you are. But what you spoke really speaks volumes, that it really is about the intentional ones. You want your friends who you can go to and you can talk to them about anything, and they're always going to be there for you no matter what. That's a very, very important thing. Intentional relationships are what life is about. That kind of transitions me into another point I was going to ask you.
Sure.
How has your relationship with your friends and your family changed as you have started to become older?
I think when my parents has changed the most, more so from being parents to mentors / friends. I think now it's to the point where if I need advice, I'll call them or ask them. But I don't feel like anything I do or say, I will be reprimanded for like I would if I was under their roof. So I think that relationship has really benefited both myself and my mom and dad, and now my stepdad. Just taking the time to understand also it's your parents' first time living as well. So things that they maybe didn't do as well, quote unquote, in your eyes, or that you wish that they did better, you can't really hate them for that because that was their first time being a parent as well. And in terms with my friends, I feel like I've always been intentional. Like even in college, I was intentional with my relationships. Like for example, two of the three roommates I had my junior and senior year were my residents. When I was an RA my sophomore year, which I don't know if you knew I was an RA or not, but I was an RA my sophomore year and became close buddies with two of my residents. They're right down the hall for me and all that stuff. I would hang out with them outside of their classes and that blossomed into great friendships. And then they invited me to move in with them off campus. And to this day, best friends with Will. And I talk to Harrison every now and then as well, but always intentional with the relationships. I do think another part with the friendships, making sure that you're being more open about your personal life with those friends. I feel like especially in your 20s and 30s, as you're figuring stuff out, you're more likely to call friends first than you are your parents to ask for advice. So I feel like your friends are another supporting cast for yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part. You made some really good points there. One thing that somebody has challenged me with recently, and you spoke upon as well, is being more open with your friendships. People can't know you if you don't share. You know, people can ask questions. And that's a good part about being a good friend, is asking the questions. But if you're not willing to be open and putting yourself out there and share this information with those people, they're not going to know it about you. And in turn, you're not going to be able to get closer with them. You're not going to be vulnerable with them. So it's kind of really comes down to just sharing, being vulnerable, putting yourself out there and sharing information that maybe you don't want to share.
Yes, thank you. You actually brought up what I was trying to say earlier, is that the friendships are more emotionally driven, whereas before they're more socially driven. Even with my close guy friends, I just feel like I value having an emotional aspect with my friends.
Yeah, definitely. The emotional aspect is what makes us humans and what helps us connect to each other. That's a super important thing. That's awesome to see how your relationships have changed, and especially with your parents too. I think something your parents probably appreciate a lot as well is now realizing they don't have to be this, they're always going to be your parent and they're always going to care about you, but it's like you said, it's kind of a mentor and a friend now, and I'm sure that's something they really appreciate, where it's not as emotionally taxing on them that they're able to just
be friends with you. Pain in the ass or something, is that what you mean by emotional?
Yeah, you were probably quite the pain in the ass when you were a kid.
I was an angel, brother.
I'm sure you were. Nothing but the best.
Absolutely.
Favorite child?
There's only two of us, so they had to pick one.
One or, 50% chance.
50% chance, man. What do you think is so hard for you to open up still? And what things specifically? I mean, you don't have to get specifics, but what general topics do you still find yourself struggling to be completely open to anyone, whether it's family, friends, significant other, anything like that?
That's a really great question. That's something I've been battling for the past few months, is trying to figure that out for me. To be honest, I don't really know. It's something I'm one area of my life that I'm specifically hitting on right now and really trying to dig deep and figure out the root of that. I think a lot of it has to do with just rejection, afraid of being rejected. You know, if I share this detail about myself and maybe somebody doesn't like that or agree with it or see things the same way as me, they may not want to be my friend, or they might not like me or something like that. So I think a lot of it has to do with rejection. But the one thing I've started to change is realizing, like, if you want truthful and genuine friendships, you have to be yourself no matter what. So if that thing is difficult to share, you need to share it anyways, because that's the only way you're going to be able to get closer with these people. It doesn't matter if they like you or not. That's their choice, and they can do with that what they may. But just got to be vulnerable with them, man. It's been a process.
It is a process. There's 8 billion people on this earth, man. If your goal or your drive is to have everyone like you, you're going to exhaust yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Can't be a people pleaser. You really cannot. It's an exhausting thing.
Can be a people pleaser to those that are currently in your life, but like, not every single interaction you have with people, it's draining. As a kid growing up, I was always a people pleaser because I really valued and craved to have those friendships or friends in school or extracurriculars and stuff like that. I felt like maybe because I had to make friends all the time rather than just having stable friendships over the years, like I felt like I not needed to impress, but I feel like I needed to make an impression of myself to be more likable to other people and to be a people pleaser. But now over the years, especially as I've gotten older and I'm starting to see people's true colors now out here, shit, they don't deserve that from me, you know?
They do not. Not at all.
Maybe they be do. Careful. It's just rude, but you know what I'm saying.
No, you got to be careful about who you give your energy to, for sure. Everybody wants to see you succeed and grow. There are people out there that want to bring you down, so got to be very careful with your time and your energy, who you put it into. I'm going to steal something from you because I really like this one, and I want to hear what you have to think about it.
Okay.
Do you feel like you are truly yourself now, or is this something that you are still figuring out?
Both, and not even as a cop-out answer, but I have a much better idea of what my values are now, you know, what matters to me. But I also feel like there's definitely parts of me, and it'll probably always will be this case, where there's definitely parts of me that I feel like maybe are neglected or that I don't give enough attention to, or things that, like you said, maybe perhaps personality traits of myself that I haven't really thought of. Why am I that way? I just accept I'm this way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'd be lying if I said there weren't parts of myself that I haven't truly dived into of why am I this way? What was the root cause of this, good or bad? And all that shit. I just accept my personality is this way in some aspects and go with it, good or bad. But I feel like I am myself. I feel comfortable with who I am. There's obviously things that I would constantly want to improve upon myself, both physically, mentally, spiritually. There's always room for personal growth, but I feel more genuine. And between that and then also, like you said, your last point of just feeling more at peace, the inner peace and feeling more genuine about myself are probably the two things that make me believe that I'm more of myself than I ever have.
Yeah, those are some awesome things. And I think it's awesome that you do have that kind of growth mindset where you recognize, like, you are happy with where you're at right now. And I think you have a good balance between recognizing where you're at, but also being aware that you always can. There always is room for growth in your life, no matter where you think you're at. And that's why life is a continuous process. Have you always felt like you have been yourself, or has that been something that has evolved and changed over the past however many years?
I mean, how deep do you want me to go with this answer? Because,
man, deep as you can.
Deep as I can. To be truthful, there was a span of a few years where I was just kind of existing, surviving, feeling like I'm just going through the motions, and my introspection and what I thought about myself really wasn't that important to me at that time. And I think that's okay to go through the ways where you're not, you don't need to constantly be evaluating yourself and be self-critical about every single thing you do, even on a daily basis, because that will also become exhausting. But I feel like sitting down periodically to think about who you are, and are you improving? Do you feel like you see yourself slacking in some areas? I think that's important. But no, there was a time in my life where I felt like I was a shell of an individual. And the only reason why I came out of that, and the only way you can come out of a lot of things, is your own, if you want to call it motivation, discipline, or really just realization of, wow, I'm just existing right now, and it's okay, but you're never guaranteed tomorrow. So if I was going to pass away today, would I be happy and proud of myself for who I am that day? And that's not something I think about too frequently, but when I was in a very, very low place mentally, that was my train of thought. I was like, no, I'm not happy with who I am. I know who I can be, who I was in the past. And so I crawled out of that hole, and I really did some self-thinking of who I was and where do I want to be and what kind of changes do I need to make to even remotely achieve these goals of mine. And here I am now. So I feel like you don't appreciate and you're really not truly happy if you haven't experienced the lows at times. You know, some of the most grateful people are not people who've always had things handed to them. Those are the people who've had a rough upcoming and grinded out for whatever they do or don't have.
So you make a really good point. I'm really happy you made it out of that. And it really does go to show it's up to you, man. Nobody's coming to your rescue. It's hard and it takes a lot of work, but it really is down to what you want and what you want to get out of your life. I really like how you make the point about where you kind of, you have to do it in moderation too. You want to have this growth mindset and you want to be striving for better, but it gets exhausting if you're doing it all the time. You have to be able to want to do it sometimes, but also be happy with your life and live life the way it's meant to be. So it's finding, per most things, it's finding, you know, happiness in moderation.
Yeah. I think that's really the beauty of it. What mm-hmm. about yourself though?
With the question?
Yeah. With the question you just asked me, I want to know your response to.
I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say mine's pretty similar as you. I mean, I am happy with where I'm at. I do feel more like myself now more than I ever have. Even just when like the last probably year, I've made a lot of changes in my life and it's been fantastic to see myself grow into the person that I want to be and the person that I think I'm meant to be. But as you mentioned, there's always room for improvement. Trying to find a good balance between, as we just talked about, pushing myself and finding these rooms for improvement, but not hyper fixating on them and making them the sole focus of my life, because I do love my life. I have made fantastic changes and I am happy and feel like I am myself, but there always is room to grow. But for sure, this past year has been wonderful for myself. Probably, honestly, a year ago today, I would have given you a totally different answer and I would have said, no, man, I really have no idea who I am. I don't really know a lot about myself. So it's been a cool year for me, seeing myself grow over the past probably 12 months.
What catapulted that change? And you don't have to go into detail about the specifics of what you have changed unless you're willing to share. But What do you think catapulted you to really transform the way you view yourself within the last year?
I think it's kind of two main things. Living like I was a shell, like I kind of just felt like I really didn't have any purpose in my life. I wasn't going anywhere. And it's just, you know, one day I woke up and I realized like, this is not the life I want. Like I was being selfish all the time. I wasn't putting effort into friendships, relationships, anything like that. I was like, this is just not it. So that was part of it. Part of it came from myself, but then there also was a fantastic individual who came into my life and helped challenge my way of thinking and has really, really helped start me along this journey as well and has been a wonderful support for me.
So Mike, I think there have been some fantastic questions and some fantastic answers, but leave the floor to you if there's any closing thoughts or any closing questions you either have for me or you wanted to discuss in general.
Yeah, I think we talked about some really good stuff today, and I would like to ask one final question, kind of wrap it up.
Sure.
If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, let's say 16 or 18 years old, somewhere in there, what's kind of one piece of advice you would give to yourself? Maybe that's something that you are still dealing with now or something that you feel is very important for them to know at that age that's critical for them, critical for you.
There's lots of pieces of advice that my younger self needed. I think this goes hand in hand with kind of the anxiety that I still have to this day, although I feel like I'm better at handling it. I feel like constantly being consumed when things aren't going well, of worrying about the future for one, when you can't change the past, you don't know the future, the only thing you do know is the present. So I think that is one piece of advice. And then the second part of that to add is that this too shall pass. Sounds so cliche, but with my anxiety and just how I'm constantly anxious and I'm always looking for the next day. Like I it's hard for me to be in the now, even if I've accomplished everything that I wanted to. I'm like, what the hell is next? I can't fully sit down and relax and enjoy the small victories. So I feel like this too shall pass when things aren't going well, realizing that just put your head down sometimes and get through the crappy day, week, whatever, a few weeks, and realize that no matter how big you think things are in that moment, and there have been some moments since I was 16 or 18 that are huge, that needed its attention, but realizing that there's always light at the end of the tunnel and this too shall pass. I think there's a lot of energy that I spent on myself worrying and stressing and worrying about the unknown when I should have just focused on the known and make the best of what I had at that moment, you know?
Yeah, that's super, super good point. You really can't have the good in your life without the bad too. So every time you sit in those bad moments, it really teaches you to be grateful for the good ones as well.
Yeah.
Some fantastic points that I think your younger self would love to hear those.
What about you, man? What are some things that your 16, 18 year old self advice wise would love to hear right now?
Yeah. It's hard to narrow it down to just one or a few things. You really could. You've so much knowledge in the past few years and things you've grown in. Like I just said, I think one big thing for me personally, as someone who did deal with depression for quite a while, is you really can't have the good times without the bad times. So every time life isn't going your way, you have car issues, you get fired from a job, you depressed, like whatever the case is, you're just going through a rough point in your life. I think you have to find some beauty in that as well, because that teaches you to be grateful for all of those good times in your life. So I think that's a really important thing. I think another really important thing is, and this is kind of cliche as well, but be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I think that's a really important thing, because the greatest changes in your life and the greatest opportunities are going to happen in these situations where maybe you don't want to do it or you don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's something out of your control. So just being comfortable in those moments and really learning to get out of your comfort zone is how you're going to grow and get those good opportunities in your life.
To all two of you who are going to watch or listen to this, I appreciate you both so very much. It's been a minute, but I really do want to be consistent with this. I hope you guys took one or two things from this, and we're going to add some different topics in the future and everything. But I hope everything's been well on your end, guys. Thanks for listening and watching. Until the next time, peace.
See ya.